Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. My name is Dave Charest, content manager here at Constant Contact, and today we'll be discussing, is it harder to run a small business today than 5 years ago? In yet another survey of the Constant Contact Small Biz Council, we asked 917 small business participants to help us understand the challenges of running a small business today as compared to 5 years ago. And once again, we're joined by Julie Murphy, Communications Manager here at Constant Contact. Hello, Julie.
Hello. Happy to be back.
Oh, thanks for joining us again. What are you drinking today?
Oh, I think I have a Mike's Hard Lemonade.
You do?
Yes.
Yum.
Yes.
We also have two other guests with us today, Zach Barron and Steve Robinson, both Area Development Directors with Constant Contact. Gentlemen, thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
Zach, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Harpoon IPA.
Yum. I'm going to say yum to everybody.
Well, very good.
Steve, how about yourself?
I'm drinking a Sam Adams Summer Ale.
Yes, I'm also drinking a Sam Summer. They're delicious.
They are delicious.
Wicked.
And who else is with us here today?
So I'm Erica Ayotte. I head up the social media team here at Constant Contact, and I'm kicking it back old school with a Corona.
Mmm, yum.
Mm.
No lime.
I am Danielle Cormier, and I am our social media community manager, and I'm having a Corona as well. And I always have a
So again, is it harder to run a small business today as compared to 5 years ago? Julia, maybe you can start us off here. So what in this survey are small businesses finding? Like, what's harder and what's been easier for small businesses today versus 5 years ago?
So I think no surprise to anyone, 59% of small businesses say it is harder to run a business today than 5 years ago. Among their reasons, the majority say the economy has hit their business hard. Again, maybe no huge surprise. But almost half, 49%, say it's harder to keep pace with technology. Any comment?
Well, I mean, that shouldn't really be surprising given within the past 5 years how much, marketing in general and especially social media has really changed the business landscape, that it's a lot to keep up with. And so I think there can be a lot of confusion, and especially when small businesses are starved for time, what do they focus on next?
Yeah,
absolutely. Not to mention that the platforms that are really popular continue to change, in air quotes there, to make their user experience better, or in some cases like Facebook, being publicly driven, really in an effort to sell more ads. So it's a challenge for small businesses to keep up with the updates and stay on top of things.
Yeah, and I find that the small businesses that are using technology only really are able to grasp one tool at a time, with some exceptions.
So is this stuff mapped to the kind of things that you guys are hearing in the field, pretty much?
It does map that way, yeah. There's a certain percentage that seem to be doing very well, and I think it's because of their willingness to accept change and new technology and the way their business is changing.
Yeah. So, I think that's the big thing, right? We're always finding that when we're talking to our customers, it's really like, that's the big thing that we do here. It's like, how the hell do I keep up with all of this? It's very frustrating, as you guys mentioned, that there's a change every 2 seconds. Like, I mean, just today, we mentioned in our news roundup that, Facebook now has hashtags.
Right.
And
right.
As we were mentioning that, we find a lot of people saying, well, what the hell are hashtags? So, like, here we are, like,
more work
what a big... deal this is, and then everybody's like, yeah, what the hell's that? So it's one of those funny things.
Well, I think one thing that could be encouraging is that within the data we saw that, 5 years ago only 64% of small businesses were using email marketing compared to 98% now. So I think that just shows you, even 5 years ago, a little more than half of small businesses were using email marketing, and now many more small businesses have adopted that technology, and the vast majority are using it.
Of those surveyed, 98% use email marketing. The biggest jump, though, was with social media marketing, not surprising. But 5 years ago, 10% were using social media, and that number is 87% today. So that seems really promising, right?
Stuff like that keeps Danielle and I employed.
There you go. There you go.
That's right. You got to love those statistics.
Yeah, we like those.
I wonder, too, and what you guys might hear on the field, but, what are people feeling about, like, I know people are using it now, so, the higher percentage of people using the technology, using social media marketing, are they doing it begrudgingly, or are they feeling good about it, or?
Well, I'd say it's a mix of both, right? There are certain folks you meet in the field who might be at the the beginning stages of exploring social media for business, and you'll hear a comment like, well, I'm on Facebook because everybody told me I have to get on Facebook. Right. But then, you know, you'll also find some folks in the audience that that have been doing it a while, and their big concern is, how do I really tie this back to, you know, ROI or the value that I'm getting from time spent? So those folks tend to look at it from, you know, how much how much money am I going to make from this activity? And, you know, one of the things that we try to talk about in our seminars is that you can't necessarily tie all of your social activity to a dollar amount. I mean, you look at a study that says a Facebook fan is worth X amount of dollars.
I hate those studies.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, what's the value of a like? What's the value of engagement? What's the value of somebody, you know, literally giving you word of mouth by putting your post on their own page and sharing with their friends? I mean, that's stuff that you can't necessarily say, oh, that's worth $5. But at the end of the day, there's huge value to that in exposure. And at the end of the day, the ROI is there. It's just hard to measure.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think it's hard to measure because it can hit on so many different aspects of traditional marketing metrics, right? I mean, what you're saying is, you know, how do we put a dollar amount on a relationship, right? So you're relationship building, but you're also, you know, extending your brand. You're also driving people back to your website. And there's so many different things that Facebook can do. It can do all of those things simultaneously. So sussing out, like, what post is, you know, driving towards which goal can be difficult, though I think the industry is, you know, marketers like us and like our customers are wanting that kind of visibility and insight into their marketing activities. And I do think that the industry is moving in the direction where we will be able to measure some of that information more succinctly down the road.
Yeah. In the field, another thing I hear a lot is they understand that they should be on social media and they understand how to use it for themselves, mm-hmm. but how to use it as a business is a real challenge for them. And they just don't know what to say.
Yeah, and I mean, as an add-on to that, you know, Gail at the live stream event today where we were kicking off Small Business Week, you know, one of her main points was, you know, start small. And I think another thing that happens to small business owners and the people that I talk to in the field is, you know, they feel like they need to be on six social networks at the same time, and they don't necessarily know how to allocate their time. Then they just get in, they get on their computer, they get online, and they just get into this suckhole.
Right.
They don't do anything.
Yeah,
right? They're trying to do everything.
They're spread too thin. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's the advice we always give is, hey, you know, just pick one that's going to be like a best. I like to say that best fits your personality, right? Because each of the networks are a little bit different. So the one that really, I mean, we do want to say the one that has most of your customers on there. But I think there's also something said, the one that fits what your brand is, what's your personality. Like if you're, for example, I used to do a lot of stuff on Twitter as opposed to Facebook because Twitter fit my personality better. You know what I mean? So I'm going to get more bang for my buck there because I'm enjoying doing it and I'm learning more. And then that gets me to, all right, understand Facebook a little bit more when I get there. So
I think it's important not to compare yourself to big brands on social media either.
Yeah.
A lot of small businesses, I think, get a little discouraged when they see just a handful of likes here and there and a couple posts. But really, that's good engagement and that's pretty much a measurable success.
It's all relative.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I think you want to look at, too, it's not necessarily that you'll get every single customer on Facebook or Twitter or wherever it may be, but your most valuable customers will, you know, you want to look at your most valuable customers are the ones that are connecting with you on those networks.
Yeah.
The other thing Gail mentioned was, in terms of social media, this could be good, looking at folks who are doing things really well and learning from them. So if there are other small businesses who are great on Facebook or Twitter, checking them out, following them, and seeing how they're doing it and learning best practices from them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, pretty much all small businesses out there are aware of competitors in their marketplace at some level or another. And I think it's a really important step for them to investigate all of their competitors' social media presences. You know, maybe somebody's doing something that's not working and they can actually avoid that pitfall.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, copy something that is working.
Yeah,
you don't have to follow those people either on Facebook or Twitter. You can just add them to a list for both channels, and that way you're not technically following them, but you can keep up with what they're doing.
Oh, I like that.
I call that creeping.
Yeah. and as far as, like, looking at what other folks are doing and kind of twisting it and you know, formatting that for your own business, I think actually Danielle is who's our corporate community manager, is like the master of that. She follows so many different brands, and you'd think that, you know, following, say, you know, you follow a lot of fashion brands, you know, you wouldn't think that there's a lot to you know, that a B2B software company could take from that, but you know, I don't know, what are some of the things
I definitely follow a ton of brands, and I just sort of look at the cool things that they're doing and say, how can I apply this to something that our audience would like? How can I make this about email marketing or about small business owners? And then I just tweak it a little bit, and it really applies and works really great. Even big companies like Oreo or Coke, they do really cool stuff. They have a huge team behind their presence, not just one person or one person running their whole business. So use their ideas. Don't be afraid to just get influence from them.
Inspiration can be found everywhere, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
So, Julie, maybe we can talk about, like, the next little section here. So, like, does being a local business really matter more today versus 5 years ago?
How are people feeling about that? The good news is that it definitely does. So, 51% of respondents said yes, they feel that their customers support them. One of the main reasons is because they're locally owned and operated. And that is up from 42% 5 years ago. So it seems to be, and there's an uptick in that trend. And I think that's probably a function of the success of Small Business Saturday and a lot of news reports about the economy and how important small businesses are to our economic recovery. I think there's been a lot of good press for small businesses in that way. I don't know.
You're seeing a lot of local chambers of commerce and municipalities that are also running shop local campaigns. Mm-hmm. There's a huge influence. And the people that are involved in their community, they not only want their business to do well, but they want the ones surrounding them to do just as well, because that means so much for them and their community.
Right, it's a Main Street initiative, really, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So small is big.
Yeah. Small is big.
and it also comes back to, the concept of why a small business wants to engage with customers and prospects on social media is the fact that, you know, we like as consumers to buy from businesses and people and organizations that we feel a connection to or that we know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and the small business and the shop local movements are great, great examples of that.
Yeah. We always, you know, we always say it's about people you know, like, and trust. Those are the people we want to do business with. And when you can have those connections with folks, especially when it comes to small businesses, because they're usually mom and pop shops, and you get to know people, and you're not just like a number coming into the shop and, you know, you're in and out. You actually go, you have conversations, you meet with folks that you like, you know, that really what it boils
down
to.
Better overall experience.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite experience of the week is going to see my butcher. He knows my name. He knows my cuts. And, you know, we talk about the Red Sox.
I was going to say, meat.
You know, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. You know, he knows that I need
to know. He knows what you want to grill
steak. And he's always making a recommendation or something like that. That type of an experience just crushes a grocery store. I mean,
really,
you know,
does.
That, you know, where it's just all prepackaged and nobody knows anything and they don't say hi.
Right.
Yeah. And from a consumer perspective, at least personally, like, I mean, it feels good to go to a local shop or a small business, you know, as opposed to the Walmarts or the Targets of the world and that
Absolutely.
Type of thing. It just, I don't know, there's something about it that just feels different, you know?
More homey.
Yeah, yeah. What are some of the biggest changes in how small businesses are doing business today versus 5 years ago?
So definitely technology, social media, marketing. Mm-hmm. Some of the changes they're seeing in terms of their customers, I think, are very interesting. 63% say their customers have higher expectations than they did 5 years ago. And I think perhaps that points to the fact that we're all looking to get more for our money because the economy is tight.
Do you think that means from a dollar perspective or from an experience perspective?
Because I think
there's two ways you can look
at
that.
Yeah. So 71% of the survey respondents say their customers expect more value.
Mm-hmm.
And 48%, so almost half, say their customers expect better customer service.
Yeah.
I think it's that wow experience that people are looking for. And I know we talk about that a lot at Constant Contact. But if you don't provide that wow experience, then people are moving on to somebody who they feel cares.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, give them a reason to go to your particular place.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of different options out there, both, you know, locally and online. And, you know, you got to give them a reason to come and buy from you specifically.
Right. I think that puts a lot of pressure on a small business owner, though, right?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And it also outlines another piece of this online puzzle that, you know, it relates to social, but it's, you know, it's online reviews and customer ratings and the importance of having that presence there and monitoring
your
reputation and literally asking people to rate their experience with you. You know, my wife is a dentist and she works for a corporate dental company. And they, in quotes, say they have a social media strategy, but, you know, I was in there recently getting some work done. I was nice to her before the night before I went in. But anyways, you know, she provides a great experience. She does a great job. And, you know, they have no calls to action or messaging around, hey, go review us on Yelp. And if you go look her dental office up on Yelp, there's two reviews, and both of those people were upset because a dentist previous, 3 years ago, no longer works there, you know, upcharged them and mangled them and, you know, all that stuff.
I think that people are really afraid just to ask, and I feel like people aren't actually offended when you just say, like, hey, did you enjoy your experience? Do you mind writing a few sentences? Or just having a sign in your business or within your menu or on the table when they're at your restaurant. Just say, hey, like us on Yelp, like us on Foursquare. Leave us a comment,
absolutely.
If you're working with a population of folks who are specifically choosing to shop local, I think that you'll find that they'll be more accommodating and want to help out a local business versus, like, who wants to go review, you know, Walmart?
Exactly.
Right. That's so true.
Well, it almost bears it out, too, right? You go on something like Yelp and you look up a Walmart in your local area, it's got, like, two or three reviews, but you look up the local retail shop and, you know, there's 50 reviews.
Give them a reason to go there.
Absolutely.
And so what you're talking about, Zach, is really a form of word of mouth. Right?
Absolutely.
And when asked to rank the top three ways they found new customers 5 years ago, 32% ranked word of mouth as number one. But today, that number's at 40%. So for sure, social media is amplifying the word of mouth dynamic and making it even more important, whereas you might think it might, you know, lessen in importance, it's actually still growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to call social media marketing word of mouth marketing on steroids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except not angry.
None of the mean side effects.
You know, one of the things about, you know, we were talking about customer expectations becoming more and that type of thing, and I really think it also stems from this idea of social media growing and this kind of instantaneous gratification of things, right? When people want something, they're immediately on their phone searching for it, and they want it now. And I think the same thing happens with expectations. We're used to being able to just, as a consumer, get on, find what we want, get it, and be done. And if you're getting on, you're doing those types of thing where you're, you know, maybe you find a business that's on the Facebook or on Twitter and you send them a question. They don't on the Facebook. I just pulled a grant on my grandmother. Are
you on the Facebook?
Anyway. But you know what I'm saying is that, like, you know, you get out there and then if people aren't responding, that puts a ding on your kind of like the way people experience their experience with you and how they're envisioning you.
You either remember it negatively or you don't remember it at all, but you definitely remember when they reach out to you and solve the problem or just answer your question.
Yeah.
So it leaves a lasting impression, I think.
Yeah. So what are some of the top concerns then small business operators have today versus 5 years ago?
They haven't really changed, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really having enough time to do what they need to do, finding new customers, and retaining their existing customers. And those numbers have remained pretty much level 5 years ago to today.
Yeah. To me, that doesn't come as a surprise at all. I think no matter how much we develop or how much technology we have, I think those will probably be the same three things that are on the minds of small business owners or businesses across the board, just regardless. I mean, it's always about those three things, right?
Always.
So, I mean, is anybody else surprised by that? Or
Not at all. Yeah.
Not at all.
So, you know, we talked a bit about today's customer and how it's really, you know, it's expectations and those types of things. Were there any other things that they were feeling about customers today?
Well, the good news is they spend more money at their business today than they did 5 years ago. Perhaps things just cost more, but they're spending more money. Other good news, 55% say the volume of new customers has increased in the last 5 years. So that's very positive. And perhaps that is just the additional online marketing tools that are available to small businesses.
Yeah.
Or business survival, even. I mean, if you think about it, right? If I started 5 years ago, right, I've obviously got more customers today. Yeah. If I lived through the recession, things are looking up.
Yeah.
All of that
kind if you've made it
factors
this far,
into it,
if
and,
you made it through
and
it
plays
all.
Into it, right? I mean, I won't quote the stat because I'll certainly misquote it, but, you know, a certain percentage of small businesses fail before year five, and it's kind of like year five. If you make it to year five, you're probably going to be okay.
Yeah.
If you don't, you know, you're going to fail. And that percentage, I mean, it's not 50%, but it's certainly, you know, it's a higher, it's double digits at least.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Very cool. You know, just to kind of wrap this up a bit, like, I think what's really exciting is that the people are using these tools that are available to them today. And I think that, you know, the folks that do get on board and, you know, come, if you're just getting started, come get education and figure out what, how to use them, how you can use them best to your advantage, and those types of things are really putting themselves at a huge advantage over other businesses, because these tools really are, it's exciting to me that, like, you can get on, you can build your own audience, you can have your own website, your own blog. You know, we talk about Facebook and using these tools, but it's really about bringing folks from those places to your own owned properties, really, and being able to build an audience and focus on who your audience is and how you can best help them, and then good things just kind of grow outward from there.
Well, marketing has really changed from a push tactic to pull tactic. So, you know, you have to get people to come to you. Yeah. And the best way to do that is to be, you know, be found easily, be likable, provide a great experience, and, you know, just let people know that you're there.
Yeah.
And some other people are not just bringing people to their brick-and-mortar front door, but their virtual front door.
Yeah.
And that's been a huge change and a huge benefit for a lot of businesses, where they can expand the number of people that are able to take advantage of their products and services.
Absolutely. And the big thing to realize, too, is that, you know, it's all about these relationships. And as a small business, you're really in that position to really kind of cement those relationships and use that to your advantage, advantages that the bigger companies don't have. So I think that's a really cool thing to kind of remember and think about, too, as you feel overwhelmed by the next social media site that comes along,
right.
You know. So, hey, thanks, everybody here at the table. Zach, Steve, thanks so much for joining us today. Julie, great to have you here again. And thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. Bye-bye now.